CSPN and the WrestleCast present the Summer of Slams live tweet series. All summer long, premiering July 25th on Saturday night, we will be live tweeting a special summer pay-per-view from the past. Help us choose which pay-per-view we look at first, whether it's SummerSlam from 89, SummerSlam 1997, 2002 SummerSlam, Bash at the Beach 1996, The Great American Bash, Hog Wild from WCW, or even ECW's Heat Wave 97. You can vote now by going to CSPN.us or by going to the WrestleCast Tumblr page, which is WrestleCast.tumblr.com, to cast your vote. All votes will be tallied, and we will watch the first pay-per-view in Summer of Slams together and live-tweet it online under the hashtag Summer of Slams. July 25th, Saturday night, join us and cast your vote now at CSPN.us or WrestleCast.tumblr.com.
The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network.
And welcome to another episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles.
Yeah!
I am your host, Tim D.O. Double G.
Welcome back!
Guess who's back? This guy, right here. I'm your host, Tim D.O. Double G. I can't remember if I said that a second ago or not.
That's all right. Drowned out by the applause, that's why.
And I'm joined tonight by @agent_70 on Twitter.
What's up, everybody?
Not with us tonight, but we want to send a very special happy birthday shout out to @PCN_Dirt on Twitter.
Yeah! Happy birthday, Dirt!
Make sure to go to his website, popculturenetwork.com, for his birthday. Send him some web traffic. And you can also go to theclicknation.com. You can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and comic book reviews, news, follow the Twitter accounts @theclicknation and @CBCron. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. Add us to your circles on Google Plus. Just search for The Click Nation and join the The Click Nation community. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and youtube.com/TheClickNation. On all the platforms, make sure to give us thumbs up, give us 5-star reviews, help us climb up the various podcasting rankings.
There you go.
For once, we'd like to be on the front of the iTunes, I guess, front page as a show that they highly recommend.
Sure enough. And don't forget Roddy Cat.
Oh, yeah. Roddy Cat isn't here.
He's back to the night shift.
He'll be back watching.
That's right.
He'll be joining us soon as Cold Slither Podcast. Shout out to Cold Slither Podcast. You'll be joining us soon.
Ha!
And make sure to, we are a part of the Cold Slither Podcast and Network. Go to their website, cspn.us. Use the hashtag Comic Book Chronicles or CBCron on your favorite social media websites when you're discussing comic books.
There you go.
You may have your tweets read on the air.
If you're intentional.
And we record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Yeah, and don't forget to follow Roddy Cat's new nerd-related news Twitter feed, @newsnerdsneed.
Indeed. All righty. First up, so have you seen Ant-Man?
I have.
I have not. I'll see it tomorrow.
Oh, so you can see it tomorrow. All right. So we'll see if I liked it. That's as much as I'll say since you haven't seen it yet. Maybe it will be a subject for another edition of the Treasury edition on the Comic Book Chronicles. We will see. Hopefully we'll get we'll get a few more members of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles panel to participate, so we'll have a nice discussion of the latest Marvel Cinematic Universe movie.
Yep. So stay tuned for that. So first up, we start with the cinematic news from the previous week. 2015 Emmy nominations include Flash, Constantine, Daredevil, and more.
It's cool to get that recognition. I think I saw that. I forget the actor's name. The one playing Wilson Fisk. I don't know why. Vincent D'Onofrio, I think, was nominated as for his portrayal of the Kingpin. That's pretty cool.
Okay, that's nice. Yeah, I would have butchered his name. I see we have an official start date for Vitsen, the animated show coming to the CW Seed digital platform, I believe it is.
Yes, August 25th. That's soon.
It is, actually. It's like a month.
Yeah.
So I need to... I know I asked someone online once how to watch that. I'm assuming there's some kind of app or something.
Oh, the CW Seed, yeah. Something like that. I think we talked... I think it came up in discussion on one of the previous shows, too. Dirt may be well-versed in that.
We got our first look at the new Flash suit for season 2.
Yes, I think the big difference here is that the logo is a little different. The chest emblem is
they
a little
added,
different.
The background of the circle is white.
Right.
And then there's some extra like yellow lines.
Yeah, which is more reminiscent of the New 52 / current Flash costume and the way it's portrayed in the comics. Here's some news that might interest the host of the WrestleCast and fans of the WrestleCast on the Cold Slither Podcast Network.
Oh, yes. WWE's Adam Edge Copeland is cast as Atom Smasher on The Flash Season 2.
You think you know me, you know?
It's funny. When I was traveling last Thursday night, I can't remember if it was Thursday night or just during the day Thursday, I didn't see any images or anything. I just saw the headline, you know, Adam Copeland cast for season 2 of The Flash, and I was like, oh, okay. I was like, that name sounded familiar to me, but it didn't ring a bell until I saw the image, and I was like, oh, okay, that's
it. It's Jason Worth from the Washington Nationals, right?
Yeah. So you're saying that's his body double?
Yep.
I can see it.
That's funny.
Let's see. Anarchy, this is a lot of like comic book season 2 and 3 casting for a bunch of these.
For this upcoming season, right? Like, this is a hint to there are many hints of where stories may be going and what characters are definitely appearing in the upcoming seasons of the various comic book shows, especially a lot of the announcements covered the DC cinematic or TV universe. So we have Anarchy being cast in Arrow. Do you know what the actor's name is, or are you going to open up the article?
I wasn't going to open it up.
Oh, okay. But more importantly, I think, is that they've cast Mr. Terrific, the character of Mr. Terrific in Arrow, as the actor's name is Echo Kellum. And I'm just glad that Mr. Terrific's being cast at all. That's, you know, talk about, B/C list character, you know, in terms of pop culture recognition, right? You know, just see that being introduced.
And I'm glad that they're mixing up, like, what shows these people are being added to. Because you think, like, a scientist like Mr. Terrific, he'd be on The Flash. Just like with, I always thought, you know, Ray Palmer made more sense initially on The Flash. But, you know, it's a nice way to mix things up.
Sure. And ultimately, they can be on either show. It's just a matter of where they appear first.
Yeah.
You know, that's really the best part of these two shows working in conjunction with each other, is that you introduce one on, you know, one character on one show, they are immediately available to cross over to the other. So, you know, that's pretty cool. Like I said, it's nice to see a B/C list character get a lot of shine and get put on TV, where he's definitely going to get a lot more exposure. Lots more Arrow news, I guess. I guess the production team on Arrow spoke about some of the rumors that Green Lantern would appear. They also announced that White Canary is going to be introduced on Arrow before the premiere of Legend, before the character appears in Legends of Tomorrow, the third DC Universe TV show. Arrow has also cast the DC villain Baron Blitzkrieg for this upcoming season. And Tim, you can take over, because we're about to shift gears and hit another DC TV Universe show.
CBS's Supergirl is set to introduce Lois Lane's sister, Lucy Lane.
All right.
Gotham cast Natalie Allen Lind as Silver St. Cloud. And Gotham also adds Michael Chiklis as a season two regular.
Ah, Ben Grimm from the first tries at the Fantastic Four movies. Aye.
Captain America Civil War will help set up Thor 3, says Jamie Alexander.
Yep.
D23, which is Disney's conference out in Anaheim, California next month, will have Captain America Civil War, Star Wars, and more coming.
Now, what do you know about D23? Is this a convention or is this just for industry people? I've never bothered to look this up, but now it's becoming more important.
I've heard it over the last couple of years, but
D23 is the official Disney fan club, literally reading it off their website after I Google it.
Yeah,
you know. Nice. So maybe if you're a member of the fan club, you can get in. I don't know.
Or it's if you're a member of the press, you can apply for
a press pass. Right.
Which we always talk about. I got my letter, my denial letter from New York City this week.
We keep trying.
Yeah. Just to put them on my radar so when I apply next year.
That's right. We're just going to keep on applying.
Let's see. Ava DuVernay expands on why she passed on Black Panther. Guardians of the Galaxy releases a animated promo or first promo for the animated series, and Wynonna Earp TV series lands at Sci-Fi.
That's cool. Something different.
Yeah. Now let's look at this section that Roddy Cat came up with. This is a bunch of interviews, so there might not be too much.
Right, but you know what it is? What we can do is kind of just briefly mention some of the things that are being discussed and that have been discussed in the last week in comics. So apparently, you know, there's been some discussion about Marvel's homage to classic and even current hip-hop album covers with these variant covers for the launch in October that coincide with some of the newer issues of All New, All Different. And, you know, there's been some back and forth between critics who say that, you know, this is simply just a marketing thing, and it's not it may not be as respectful of the hip hop culture, and may in fact be misappropriation and along those lines, something not as respectful as it could be. So you know, it's interesting to hear, you know, to see the varying perspectives on that. And
yeah,
you know, it's caused a lot. You know, there's been some dialogue and some discussion, and it's important.
Yeah, I fall kind of somewhere in the middle. I can see people's gripes with it, but I mean, Marvel, once they released the entire list of who's working on the projects, I mean, it's men, women, diverse nationalities.
Creators, yeah.
for all the artists that are, you know, contributing to it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is, I try not to gripe too much over every single thing, because then you just become that nerd fan that finds fault in everything.
Right.
So it's like, okay, I want to take it at face value that, you know, the covers are nice and fun.
Right.
And just leave it at that.
I understand.
That's my goal.
And I respect that. I do.
Easier said than done.
Of course. Of course. All right. So some of the other things that came up, I guess there's some discussion or some points brought up by Kevin Feige about the role the lack of leading roles for women in the Marvel Universe, specifically mentioning some backlash involving Black Widow's role, I guess, or the lack of a Black Widow movie. I haven't read this, so I'm just sort of basing that on Roddy Cat's notes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, I mean, he gets asked that almost at every interview nowadays, sure. It seems.
Sure.
She's a supporting character, at least right now.
Well, yeah, exactly. They have to develop her a bit more, and I think that's what everyone wants.
Let's see. Bunch of interviews. A lot of interviews from San Diego.
Right. We don't want to spoil anything about Ant-Man. Don't read that.
Yeah, I'm skipping that. Yeah, just a lot of interviews.
Yeah, lots of interviews. We're going to work on trying to on how to discuss these points. We may have to narrow it down to a couple of articles that maybe we want to talk specifically about and bring up specific issues in them, like the hip-hop covers.
Yeah, a lot of those are just like almost this section's nothing but interviews for the most part. So unless there's like key nuggets included in them, we'll pass them by for now. And we'll go to the comic book news.
Okay, wait. Before we hit the comic book news, I did not read the sheet before the show. I did not know about this first story.
Yeah.
When did this happen?
I'm assuming in the Ant-Man annual from last week that I haven't read.
That I actually have in my bag that I picked up on a whim. So you can talk about this because I'm quick.
Oh, I was going to skip it too because I haven't read it yet.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it kind of gives it away.
Spoiler. There. Exactly.
Everyone else will skip. We are skipping.
Yes.
Kids Can Press debuts on Comixology. Marvel launches Iron Man parties to build your own Iron Man on October 7th.
What is that?
I'm sure it's in conjunction with like all different Marvel and Invincible Iron Man.
How do you build your own Iron Man? Are they gonna like give you those toys that you can put the arms and legs together?
Have to click the link and see.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm waiting for it to load. In the meantime, wow, I did not know that Arun Singh left Marvel.
Yep.
After 8 years. Wow.
And over to Sci-Fi Network to work on whatever sci-fi show I just mentioned earlier, probably.
Oh, Wynonna Earp?
Yeah, Wynonna Earp. He did say in his string of tweets he'll be working on, now I've already forgotten, 12 Monkeys and another show.
All right. Well, good for him. Congratulations, Arun Singh. He's done a great job at Marvel for the last 8 years.
Yes. Marvel Comics' own Ms. Marvel coming to graphic audio, which is basically like comments in audio form, I believe.
Okay.
It might be explained more elaborate than that, but that's what I took from it.
I've read the article, so I can't say. That's as good as an explanation as I can think of.
DC Comics, Harley Quinn, and Batman giveaways for Halloween.
Well, that's cool.
Darby Pop Publishing joins Magnetic Press.
All right.
Rest in peace to Tom Moore, famed Archie comic artist.
Rest in peace.
Apparently there's something going on with the Black Lightning.
They're publishing a new archive, it looks like.
Yeah, his creator, I'm assuming, Tony Isabella.
Right.
An original Batman and Robin Eternal story is given away on Batman Day.
That's cool to allegedly look forward to, yeah.
And Lion Forge Comics debuts on Comixology.
Congratulations, Lion Forge Comics.
And awesome. This is where I asked Roddy if he had anything in the variant corner he wanted to bring up.
I'm just going to scan this real quick. I haven't seen a lot of this. Obviously, they've introduced another hip-hop variant cover for Uncanny Humans done by Damian Scott, who is the artist behind how to draw hip-hop, how to draw hip-hop comics. So, you know, that's pretty cool that he's participating. He's also from Brooklyn. Let's see here. Marvel's covers are going to be decorated with Kirby monsters throughout October. When there isn't a hip-hop cover for the variant, the Kirby monsters are going to be there. And on the cover of Secret Wars number 8, Alex Ross snuck in a very subtle cameo of a character that is originally from the Distinguished Competition. I'll leave it at that. You have to look very carefully for it.
All right. Time to read my script.
There you go.
Keep our podcast free by shopping at Amazon. Visit coldslitherpodcast.com, then click the Keep Our Podcast Free link at the top of the page. From there, scroll down and click on the Amazon link to shop. Purchase items from Amazon.com as you normally would, whether it's books, music, electronics, jewelry, apparel, etc. For every purchase made on Amazon through our link, Amazon sends the CSPN a payment that helps keep the Comic Book Chronicles podcast free for our listeners at no extra cost to you. Amazon.com through codeslitherpodcast.com. Do it today.
There you go. And it doesn't even have to be Prime Day.
Nope. Did you buy anything for Prime Day?
No.
Me either.
No.
I don't have Prime, for one.
Same. I don't shop on Amazon that much.
That much.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we all do here and there, but not that much. All right. So I haven't filled out a bloody blessed thing on my list. Let's see what's on your list, see what we can talk about together. How about we start with how about the first book on your list, Old Man Logan number 3?
Series is getting better.
You know what's funny is that I found this issue tough to follow because he was jumping around between different realms of Battleworld. I found this one was probably the hardest to follow of the three issues that have come out already.
So it's funny because when I was reading it, I actually brought up the Secret Wars Battle World map to see how the domains were found, to see if they actually were being true to the map.
Right.
And they are, because Old Man Logan takes place at the Wastelands, right?
I think so.
Yeah, which borders Age of Apocalypse, which he finds himself in for the early portion of the comic. And there's like a stare down between Apocalypse and
a Thor.
We kind of see the X-Men of the Age of Apocalypse. Wolverine escapes, gets like, I forget how, he tries to take out the Thor. They fly in the sky. He gets dumped to the ground, winds up in another domain, Technopolis.
Right, which is the setting for Armor Wars.
Yes. He interacts with the Baron, Tony Stark, and the Thor of that domain, Rhodey. I think Marshall Rhodey, they call him.
Right.
He wants to go see Apocalypse. Not Apocalypse, but Doom.
Doom.
I'm trying to remember how did it end.
Well, it ends on a cliffhanger. So I flipped through it to kind of refresh my memory because I had a tough time kind of following what was happening. I understood what was happening. It was just tough to follow. He basically, on the cliffhanger end, on the last page, he's left in the place where they kick people when they do bad.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to, without completely spoiling the ending, if you've been reading Secret Wars up to this point, when I say he's been dumped, he's been placed where people who do bad things get put, that's where he is.
And as much as I enjoy Andrea Sorrentino's art, man, sometimes it's hard to follow what's going on.
I'm glad you brought that up because that I was going to mention that the art, while at times pretty, was a little muddled, and I found that made it even harder for me to follow along.
It's like a combination of the art, the panel layouts, and the coloring. A lot of it's the coloring too, I think.
Yeah, you noticed that too, right? Where they kind of went to like all red at some points, and I didn't understand that particular design choice when he was in Technopolis. Oh, throughout actually.
Technopolis, I understood that more than like the Age of Apocalypse portion.
Yeah, I can see your point now. But I noticed that these panels that are all red made it a little bit difficult for me to keep track of what was going on. That's just a visual thing that maybe was playing with my eyes while I was trying to read it. So we'll see what it's like on paper.
Yeah.
When I didn't have a chance to go to the LCS this week. Up till now, I'll be going tomorrow. So I'll see what this book looks like on paper and see if the red panels and the red coloring in those panels continue to throw me off.
Okay.
All right.
So far the series has been entertaining.
Cool.
Issues 2 and 3 better than 1. I'll say that much because we're finally getting into him traveling across Battle World.
Right. Right. I like 2 better than I think 2 has been the best issue so far, but that's just my opinion.
Right. All right.
How about we talk about...
Did you fill out the spreadsheet?
No, I'm working on it. I was just going to start doing it while you talked about, or we started talking about one of the other books
that
we both read, which is Robin. We Are Robin?
Yes.
We Are Robin number 2. So I like this book because it follows up. It's a direct continuation of the story where we leave off in number 1, where we find a ragtag bunch of kids who are acting as... informal vigilantes. They don't have uniforms or full uniforms necessarily. They're not well trained, but they're acting, in concert, with each other under the guise of being Robins. And we find out more about how they've been organized in this issue. And we follow our current protagonist. I happen to remember his last name, Thomas, right? But I don't remember his first name.
Duke.
That's right. Duke Thomas.
The only thing I'd say is, for some reason, it seems like Duke's personality has changed a lot. Maybe because he's an orphan now and his parents are missing from what went down in Batman Endgame series. But I like books with sort of the teen heroes doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, this is a new group, which they're learning. I'm still trying to learn who each person in this Robin gang is.
Right.
And then there was seeds planted of like someone pulling their strings. Some people think it's a man, some think it's a woman.
Uh-huh.
And Duke's being pulled into this this group, this association.
Mm-hmm. I mean, speculating, just pure speculating, who do you think it is at this point?
Could be Alfred's daughter. What's her name? Julia Pennyworth.
Right, Julia Pennyworth. That's a good guess. I think that's an excellent guess.
Just off the top of my head, my first thought was, I guess, the girl that grew into be Danette's Oracle and Batgirl.
That's not bad, too. I didn't know that they were doing that.
But she's kind of new, so that would be taking a big progression in her character to be assembling these kids like that. Mm-hmm. You have any guesses?
No, my initial guess was going to be either Alfred himself, you know, or, you know, one of the other, you know, maybe possibly the a member of the police group that's funding or the group that's funding the Batman suit.
Yeah, who Julia is working with.
Correct. Correct. So, you know, neither of us would be far off if my guess, you know, my initial guess was I didn't have a character in mind, but it was someone affiliated with that that corporation that's funding and providing the Batman suit. So if it turns out to be Julia Pennyworth, we're both right.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. What else?
You read Star-Lord and Kitty Pratt?
I did not. Tell us all about it, because I'm curious, because I understand that the premise is it's not the Star-Lord and Kitty Pratt we're familiar with, or at least not from the same time period, right?
Correct. So this was one of the many Secret Wars books that got pushed back and delayed until, was it Secret Wars 4 that came out a couple weeks ago?
Right.
I think it was 4, yeah.
Correct.
So the reason for that is because the Star-Lord in this book is the Star-Lord from the Cosmic Wrath that Reed Richards created.
Oh.
So it's 616 Star-Lord, who, if you read the end of Secret Wars number 4, him along with everyone else on that raft got scattered across the different domains of Battleworld by Doctor Strange. So Star-Lord is trying to lay low, and of course laying low to him is becoming a singer at the Quiet Room
bar and no lounge. Kidding.
That of course is the bar set up in Humans Attila and Rising.
Right.
So he's got his band, Drax as a member. Oh, he's also going by, since he can't use his name, Peter Quill or Star-Lord, he's going by Stevie Rogers, first name that he could think of.
Mm-hmm.
Drax has this big, awesome, like, head of hair, and he's like the life of the party.
All right.
And we're introduced to Kitty Pryde, who we learn is a member of Valeria Doom's, whatever she works for her, Valeria.
Okay, Doom. So she has like her own kind of sub team in.
Yeah, Valeria does.
In Doomstadt. Okay.
Yeah, so she goes, so what Kitty goes to the Quiet Room to meet with the Collector, who is Gambit the Collector. Gambit,
okay.
And Gambit has a unknown source that they're doing like a trade for. Kitty is trading Gambit 3 or 4 knives carved from the bones of Longshot. So they're lucky daggers.
Whoa.
And all
like
Gambit.
That's so morbid, but anyway.
Yeah. And Gambit has a small sample of hair that is of an unknown resource or unknown origin.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because it's Peter's or someone off world, you know, someone from the raft.
Okay.
Which is why they can't be identified by their technology. And Peter's up singing. He sees Kitty Pryde. He goes off to her. Of course, this is right when Gambit and Kitty are like arguing because Gambit's trying to put the moves on her. She's not going for it. Gambit ends up getting away with the piece of hair and the lucky daggers. Of course, Peter plants a big kiss on Kitty,
mm-hmm.
who in turn slugs him.
Of course.
And some of his blood gets on the device that they were using to test the sample of hair. And of course, it like, and all of a sudden, then it comes up saying, you know, he's an unidentified origin or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So Kitty handcuffs him and takes him off to Doomstadt.
Wow.
And that's where the issue ends. So I've just like spoiled the whole issue, but
that's fine. Yeah. I'll ring the bell because God forbid someone actually listened and, you know, to the whole thing after, you know, after you started going into the plot and just like maybe muted or something, you know?
It's actually one of the few times I actually can like recap the entire issue or something I read.
You know what? The art in this isn't bad. It's kind of, you know, it's got an animated feel to it. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't have a chance to pick this up. Good. I'm not familiar with the artist, but I know Sam Humphries has been hyping her up online.
Oh, this is she? Alti Firmancia?
I believe it is.
Wow. Good for her. Congratulations. Good job. Alti Firmancia. Wow. Cool. All right. Let's see. What else did you read that we can talk about? Tell me about, actually, I'm interested in knowing about what happens in Weird World number 2. So this was a surprisingly good first issue. So I want to find out about what happens in the second issue.
Yeah, it's like a weird, of course, it's weird world. So
it's it like wouldn't this, be weird.
It's like a sword and sorcery type domain.
Right.
Archon, the lead character, was captured and taken to Apelantis, I think it's called. Underground yes. city run by apes who can swim, apparently.
Mm, you gotta love it.
He's thrown in their dungeon. He's trying to escape, but he discovers another slave slash captured person there who helps Archon escape because this person who we find out is...
Spoiler alert?
I can't even explain him. Spoiler alert, but I guess I'm assuming he's another character that probably like from whatever comic Archon was from back in the day.
No, different comic.
Oh, okay, different comic altogether.
Different comic altogether.
Some crystal guy.
I think it's one of those. Right, I don't know if this is Crystar, but it's one of the characters from the Crystar, the Crystal Warrior book.
That's correct. That name sounds familiar.
So that's pretty cool. I'd seen teasers about this, but I haven't had a chance to read this yet. It does look very nice. I give the artist on this book, I'm flipping back.
Mike Del Mundo?
Yes. This book is one of the prettiest Secret Wars books out there.
Yeah.
It is. You know, the art is very attractive.
Yeah. It's beautiful to look at.
Most definitely.
Very, a lot easier to follow than Andrea Sorrentino's.
Yeah, even though it's like semi-painted, it's so much easier to follow because the layouts are a little bit more traditional, and there's a lot more happening in each panel.
I wonder how much time goes into just crafting a page of that issue.
Oh, it is behind, isn't it? It's behind schedule.
Yeah.
So, but this looks good. I'm glad that you liked it.
Yeah, it's fun. Like Archon is able to escape with Crystar's help, and then he helps Crystar find someone.
Well, it's actually Warbo. That's the character's name, but I think
he's Warbo.
Crystar book. That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Let me go into something that I read real quick, give you a break. I'll give you a break, see what on my list you did not read. I'm surprised you did not read Uncanny X-Men number 35.
Yeah, I didn't get to it before tonight's show. I thought we were waiting for Uncanny 600 to come.
This is the last issue before 600. So very quickly, I can summarize this in just a few sentences. So we are following the students from the now defunct Xavier School that Cyclops founded.
Mm-hmm.
And this follows the adventures of the students who don't immediately decide to join the Jean Grey School.
Oh, okay.
Right. And basically they're left to deal with a mutant who's just now discovering her powers on their own. And while they're successful, they also expose themselves to the media. And one of their members, one of this group, I'm going to ring the spoiler bell. One of the members of this group becomes famous because he goes viral on social media. Video of this particular, I said it's a him, so I'm not going to go beyond that. But one of the characters goes viral and basically becomes famous. And ultimately, what we find is that this group of students get in over their head and find themselves on the wrong side of the media and kind of make their way back to the Jean Grey School.
Huh.
I mean, I've kind of told the whole story without spoiling too many of the details.
Yeah, that sums it up kind of nicely, I'd say.
So... But that's that. That this is the last issue of Uncanny X-Men before Uncanny X-Men number 600. I've said this before on the show. I am seriously thinking about putting an end to my continuing run of Uncanny X-Men based on what Uncanny X-Men is supposed to be coming out of all new, all different. So not happy about that, but hey, all good things must come to an end, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, so much for the completist in me. Anyway, I'm surprised you didn't get a chance to read all new Hawkeye number 4.
Yeah, how was it?
It was, you know, it was good. We're back to, you know, we're still doing something of an origin story of Hawkeye and his brother Barney, you know, Barney Barton and Clint Barton and their early stories in the traveling circus. Mm-hmm. You know, once they leave, what was it, foster care? I think it was.
Yeah, they joined. Well, they ended up like sneaking into the circus and got found by Swordsmaster.
Right, the swordsman. So, you know, we still have that, and we find Clint not adapting well to. Remember, this is supposed to be, I believe, the Circus of Crime, or at least a circus where, you know, one of the objects of being in the circus is to, you know, rob people while they're trying to enjoy the circus. And so, you know, we see Clint not adapting well to that, but Barney, you know, jumping headlong into it. And in the meantime, we're also having a parallel story or a second story being told that's in present day that involves Kate Bishop, Hawkeye, and Clint Barton, Hawkeye, rescuing these superpowered children who had been a prisoner of Hydra, and now Hydra has come to reclaim them. And where, you know, this is the bottom half of the page telling the story.
Mm,
if you okay. remember that from the previous issues,
right?
You know, I think this episode, this issue flips it so that the storytelling Clint and Barney's backstory is the top three quarters of the page, and the bottom quarter of the page is the current day story. So that's the layout, and you know, basically we don't have any resolution in this in that story yet as well. So, you know, we're on to the next one. This was because of the focus being given to the backstory, I think this was one of the more interesting issues, because we do see far less of what's going on in the present day. We see a lot more of Barney and Clint at the circus, and seeing how, you know, they interacted back then, and how one went in one direction and one went in another. So, you know, if you're interested in that, if you want to see, you know, a study of Hawkeye's past, you know, on a much deeper level than what's been told before, then by all means, take a look at this book. You know, it was actually an interesting read, because I think Lemire, you know, finally caught my attention with some of the stuff that was happening in this issue.
I like the back and forth from past to present portion.
Yeah, and I'm starting to get the hang of what they want to do, you know, like you said, kind of flip it. You know, one issue does it, you know, kind of focuses on one, and the bottom quarter of the book focuses on the other story.
Okay. You said you started Cyborg number 1, right?
I did. And I want to hear your take on it, because it may have been because of when I was able to start it. I was probably getting ready to get off the subway, and I just couldn't get myself started on that first page. I don't know if it's too brightly colored, if that's even a problem. You know, maybe that's just a problem I was having with
the art was great.
Well, the art's detailed, but for whatever reason, I just couldn't get into the color. You know, there's something about the coloring that just threw me off. Like I said, maybe it'll be a lot like what was that book we were talking about with the red? Old Man Logan. Maybe on paper, this might be more appealing to me. But tell us about it, because I'm interested in reading this.
It's concerned more with getting to know Victor Stone, the man behind the Cyborg portion.
Okay.
It takes place over at Argus, I think, in Detroit. I always get my Argus and Star Labs and all the different acronyms mixed up, but mm-hmm. I think it's his father works at Argus. I hope it's Argus in Detroit.
It's all right.
Now I'm going to look that up, but I won't.
Oh, it looks like Star Labs.
Oh, it's Star Labs. Okay.
It is Star Labs.
So works at Star Labs. He fills his dad and this other, I guess, scientist guy there in on what's been going on with him, what happened to him in the free comic book day issue in June, mm-hmm. how he died, but got like resurrected somehow. And it seems like he's got like a new operating system that was brought to line. While this story is going on, we see off on some other part of the galaxy, this battle between two alien species taking place. One of them has tech that looks similar to Victor's. Mm. He wants to be, you know, his father is just concerned with like studying him, and you know, he's all about. This goes back to him even when he was a kid. His father kind of like ignoring him. There's some cool scenes outside of Star Labs where there's people protesting, mm-hmm. and it's like people protesting that have like bionic part, you know, body parts. And then like Cyborg runs into this one guy who has like an artificial arm who's saying, you know, Cyborg's part of the problem. You know, he's got this, you know, fancy, you know, tech, mm-hmm. but everyone else, you know, has to deal with, you know, artificial limb that can't even hold a pencil or
right.
whatnot.
Right.
We are seeing his supporting cast be fleshed out. We mm-hmm. Are introduced to a guy who played at a rival high school against Victor's high school, who will probably be seeing a lot more of. Romantic interest with another lady scientist who I don't know her name,
but she works with his father.
Yeah, okay. Right. But yeah, I like the human element. I just wish that the villains didn't seem so generic. Mm. You know, they're shouting like, you know, kill them all. And...
well, they're going to be tech based because, you know, because it is Cyborg. Although it would have been interesting if they would have made his first big enemy magic base. That would have been pretty, you know, interesting flip of the script. Roddy Cat has chimed in via our internal show chat. And has reminded us that the other scientist that is working with Victor Stone's father, is it Tobias Stone? What's his father's so. Name?
That sounds.
It sounds right, right?
Sure, Roddy will correct us.
Silas Stone.
Silas, okay.
Silas Stone. Tobias sounds a lot like Silas. The other scientist is actually T.O. Morrow, the creator of, you know the android. The android in DC, Amazo.
Oh, T.O. Morrow?
Yes.
Okay, that name sounded familiar from Young Justice.
Yes. So, I mean, I'm glad you liked it. I'm going to give this a real shot. You know, as I said, I think I was kind of distracted by, you know, when I started trying to read this and some of the coloring, maybe it was the splash page with the aliens, and because it opens with the aliens, and maybe that kind of threw me off. Mm-hmm. You know, not really understanding, you know, what these characters were doing and why they were on the page. So now with your explanation, maybe I'll have a chance to really read this and be able to digest it. Amazo, yes, Amazo the android.
Amazo.
Yep. All right.
So that was basically the issue.
Cool.
What else did you read?
Not much. Really much.
That's right. You said you didn't read too much this week.
Yeah. Surprisingly enough, the last book I read in detail was Punisher number 20. And this is the last issue in this run. I believe the last issue in this run of the Punisher. This is the last days arc of the Punisher, leading into all new, all different. You know, basically, this is what happens to the Punisher when the final incursion is happening, and we find out that the Punisher has been, you know, recruited to rescue a former associate in the Middle East. And he's fighting against a terrorist group that's been taking and killing American hostages and are now holding a former associate of his. You know, the Punisher's, you know, doing his one-man wrecking crew thing. And he's basically, you know, cutting his way through this entire base, but then finds himself disabled and has to, you know, do a little bit of, let's just say, spoiler alert. He has to do a little bit of... catching some bullets the wrong way, mm-hmm. in order to complete his mission. And we're left with a very ambiguous ending. We're not sure what, you know, what the final fate of the Punisher is as the final incursion is happening. And I think it's obviously meant to end on that note, because we won't know where the Punisher will next appear, post Secret Wars and the all new, all different Marvel Universe. But this was a nice end to the run. I believe this is the end of the run for Nathan Edmondson and Mitch Gerards on the Punisher. This has consistently been a very good book. I was hesitant to give this a shot at first, but once I finally got into it, I'm basically caught up on the entire series, got all the back issues and picked it up. And, I can't say this enough. I hope Nathan Edmondson does not leave Marvel to do strictly creator-owned stuff, because I think he's very, very good. He's got a very good handle on a lot of the – I hate to call them all street level, because I always jokingly call them the gun-toting characters, the gun-toting characters of the Marvel Universe that he's been working on, Black Widow, Punisher, Deathlok. He's got a great handle on this, and I hope that in the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe, there is a place for the stories that Nathan Edmondson and Mitch Gerards can tell.
Yeah, Mitch Gerards will be appearing at over in Vertigo for one of the series that was announced at San Diego.
Okay.
With Tom King.
Okay, yeah. Good for
writer
him.
Co-writer of Grayson and writer of Omega Men.
Nice.
It's another sort of militaristic type book. It appears. If I can
okay.
Speak.
All right. I'm surprised. I was about to say, I'm surprised you didn't read The Flash this week. It's your dude.
I'm behind on The Flash. I don't know. I'm like 5 issues behind on The Flash.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. It might be one I give up on. It's not really clicking too much for me.
Gotcha. I'm behind. Yeah, I was about to say we should start a new segment called "This is what we're behind on." I really want to get into it.
Everything at Image. Everything at Image, basically.
Right. Like
Valiant.
I fell behind on Loki, Agent of Asgard. I know it's coming to an end.
I'm like two or three issues. I think I'm only 2 issues this week and whatever came out last month.
Right. I'm in the same boat. I'm about 2 issues behind.
Magneto. I might not even finish Magneto since it's going to end anyway.
Yeah.
That Ms. Marvel came out. Come out last month?
The Last Days? Yes.
Actually, I think I read that. Yeah.
You might have read that, because we talked about that on the show. We talked about how Carol Danvers appears at the end.
Yeah. There hasn't been one since then, right?
No.
Okay. So,
I was going to say there's a couple of Secret Wars books this week that I wanted to read and try to catch up on. Marvel Zombies was a surprise read, a surprisingly good read in its first issue, and I'd like to read that. I skimmed Future Imperfect number 3. And, considering who the artist is, we all know I don't like reading anything that's drawn by this artist, Greg Land. And, I skimmed this. I'm sorry, Peter David. I stopped caring about the characters that he's writing about, in this book. They really do involve some of the lesser characters from the Future Imperfect stories. And Janice, the character that kind of found her way into the Incredible Hulk main series for a while. I just could not find myself. I could not get myself to really concentrate on this book, so I can't really give it a fair shake. Let's see what else came out this week that I may have read through very quickly. Now you know what? Oh, I'm sorry. I did read one thing that I was surprised to see how long it was. I read Wolf number 1, which is from Les Cote, who's currently wrapping up a quick run on The Winter Soldier over at Marvel. This is an Image book that he's done with, and I'm waiting for the credits to come up, with Matt Taylor as the artist and Lee Luffridge as the colorist and Clayton Cowles as the letterer. Basically, the story is, and what's funny is that I can summarize this book by going to the very last page and reading the back cover, because it does a very good job, because it's a 60-something page book or 50-something page book. It's a lot to read. I was very, very surprised to see that it was this long. Here's the story in a nutshell so far. Antoine Wolfe, a hard-boiled paranormal detective with a death wish, has to cope with sudden responsibility for an orphaned teenage girl who might be the key to the impending apocalypse, California style. Also featured, a bag of full of cash, a serial killer on the loose, and many secrets. There's lots of magic involved in this supernatural stuff. There's vampires and myths and whatnot. It's definitely an offbeat read. I'll put it that way. It's an offbeat read because of the storytelling style that Alex Cote employs in this. It's a little bit all over the place. It takes some time to absorb, and maybe that's a good thing because it forces you to slow down instead of flipping, you know, page to page to follow the action and follow quick-witted banter between hero and villain, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe that's a good thing. And, it was an interesting read. It was an in-depth read because of how long it was. I was surprised at how long it was. But I'd be willing to pick up the next issue just to just to see where these characters go because there's so much development in these 50-plus pages.
Hmm. Okay, so did you read his Zero comic?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not. My first real exposure to Cote's writing was the Winter Soldier, and I lost interest in that fairly quickly. So it took some doing on my part to kind of will myself to flip through the first few pages. But once I got into it, other than being surprised at how many pages I was flipping through, it was a fairly interesting read. So if you're looking for something that's a little bit more offbeat and maybe will involve a little bit more, kind of intensive reading on your part than you might be used to for a comic, take a look.
Okay. Let's see. Last two issues or comics for me were Aquaman 42. It's more, again, the past and present deal going, flipping back and forth to when Arthur was still the king of Atlantis and to the present where he's been, exiled as he's been off investigating these strange occurrences on Earth or on the land,
mm-hmm.
but it's like it has to do with people like a forgotten tribe of Atlantis.
Right.
Yeah. So we haven't figured out why he's being hunted by Atlantis just yet. So that's still going on. And Kanan number 4, The Last Padawan.
Mm-hmm.
I like this comic. It's I like Pepe Larraz's art. We're nice. Following dude from Star Wars Rebels back when he was a Padawan, and actually he's not a Padawan anymore because the Republic or the Empire is taking over.
Right,
so
Empire.
He's learning like on the job training of being a smuggler / thief, sort of like his wacky adventures. And two of the clone troopers that he used to work with back. With the Republic are still hunting them down, and they've caught up with them by the end of the issue. Mm-hmm. So the story arc ends next issue.
All right,
that's about.
I'm glad you like it. I haven't watched the show, so I would be very.
I haven't watched it either, so I'm just going off the comic.
All right,
I'll probably start back when season 2 starts. Hopefully, season 1 will show up on Netflix or something.
So I was gonna say, there's got to be a way to catch up and binge watch that and make some sense of what's going on. So I'm hoping that that happens. I was just flipping through the latest issue of Wonder Woman. It's a shame that they've put Wonder Woman in this Azrael type suit. I'm saying, she's got blades. Come on, man. Let's see if there's anything else I wanted to talk about. Anything in your back issues from last week that you wanted to bring up? Because you've been away for a little while.
Yeah, deleted.
To talk about?
I cleared my, not clear, but a lot of stuff I read last week, I moved off the iPad, so mm-hmm. I can't go back through it to tell you what I read. Actually, let me look at the list of stuff that came out last week. Actually, I'm still trying to catch up from last week because I was gone for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Justice League 42 was great. I think I tweeted that it's basically like a cinematic movie in comic book form. That's how good it is.
What'd you think of Hawkeye 22?
I haven't read it.
Oh, no. No kidding.
Going through, what did I read from last week? There's a bunch of stuff I haven't read from last week.
Well, obviously.
Guardians of Nowhere I liked.
I was about to say, obviously, we both need to read the Ant-Man annual.
Inhumans Until Rising.
Yep, that was good.
That was good. I like John Timm's art. That whole story is just kind of fun. It's seeing Charles Soule write at least a version of Matt Murdock again.
Right. Well, you know what's funny is that I think that, you know, Soul has done a very good job of establishing the Inhumans as characters we want to read more of, even in this alternate, you know, in even in this alternate take.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the Inhumans revival.
Right, and you know what's
taken over for the X-Men, basically.
Right, but what I was going to say is, you know, we've been doing this show long enough now where we talked about what, you know, whether or not we were excited about the launch of the Inhumans as a lead comic book franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad to say that, you know, whatever, you know, trepidation we might have had, whatever misgivings we may have had, I think, you know, Marvel's proved us wrong, especially with the strength of the creative teams on them.
Yeah, they seem to know what they're doing.
You know, and they're really doing a good job with, you know, introducing just enough new characters to really mix it up.
Oh, and Radicat said earlier, I think we had our villains mixed up. He said Morrow created Red Tornado, Professor Ivo.
Ivo created Amazo. Yeah, we're Marvel guys. You know, that's I hate to use that as an excuse, and I apologize. You can send all nasty letters and emails and tweets to @agent_70 on Twitter. Yes, I am not as well versed on my DC as maybe you are. So
I did have a nice conversation with my local comic book owner when I went to the store Wednesday, because I hardly ever go because I just read all digital now. But I want to pick up Cyborg number one in print.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like asking me what I, you know, what do I read? So I was kind of going over, talked a lot
everything
about the DC. Yes,
right.
But talked a lot about the DC stuff just because I'm really enjoying the DCU hashtag set of books. And he was saying how, you know, some stuff is selling better than others. Like I mentioned Omega Men, I'm liking, and he was like, yeah, that's not selling too well here.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what else he said is doing well out of like the break, you know, the new set of books. I have to ask him next time I'm there. But yeah, it was a good conversation.
Maybe you missed
the whole comic book store shop experience.
Why is that?
Because I don't go anymore.
Oh, I mean,
miss it.
Listen, I think Roddy Cat mentioned earlier that there's a chain, there's a store that actually has a couple of branches in your area that sells comics, or was this more of a dedicated comic book store that you're talking about? You can even give him a shout out. You can even give him a shout out if you
want. Oh, it's on the store?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Comic Shop.
What's it called?
Mr. Comic Shop.
Oh, Mr. Comic Shop. Wow.
Yep.
All right, cool. And Roddy Cat is let me know that I might appreciate the villain they used in the Ant-Man annual. I'm just flipping through very quickly, and I just got a kick out of that. That's pretty funny. I won't spoil it because I do have to read this a little bit more seriously.
Yeah. Click of the week time, I suppose.
Yeah, I think so. We kind of ran, you know, buzzed through the show because we're in the post San Diego Comic-Con hangover. There isn't nearly as much news to discuss the week after San Diego.
What is my click of the week?
You know what? In the meantime, we'll talk about what Dirt's click of the week is.
Good point.
Dirt has chosen for his click of the week this week, his birthday week, Punisher number 20 by Nathan Edmondson and Mitch Gerards. And I think I'm going to second that and also make Punisher number 20 my click of the week this week. I was going to say that We Are Robin was actually a good read and a possible contender. And All New Hawkeye, as much as you know, I'm not the biggest fan of this whole back and forth storytelling, I thought that the main story that was being told in the book was pretty good, and that also made it that made that book a contender for me. But in the end, Punisher number 20 is my click of the week. Has Roddy mentioned what his click of the week is?
Roddy,
let us know.
I missed it.
Let us know, Roddy. Get it in there.
Get
your click of the week in. I'm giving you time.
I am gonna go. What did I enjoy the most? This is a hard week.
Yeah, this was a tough week. It shows when there's only a few books that I'm able to get to, you know, in a regular read. Although, I do intend to read some more of these continuing Secret Wars limited series. What about Weird World? Do you like Weird World or We Are Robin?
Yeah, it's like I'm like Cyborg number one, or We Are Robin, Conan, so Weird World.
You like Star Lord and Kitty Pryde a lot too, because you just
yeah, it's like a bunch of stuff is like coalesced together. Like nothing was like a big standout, but everything was, you know, enjoyable. Everything I read, I enjoyed, which is making this hard.
Oh, wait a second. We have Roddy Cat's Click of the Week. Roddy Cat's Click of the Week is, drum roll, please, Cyborg number one. So we have two Punishers and we have one Cyborg number one. Now you can make it a tie.
Nah, because he named the one I keep going back to, I guess. Kanan number four.
Nice. You're going to go with that? That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're liking that a lot.
Very cool. That's a fun series. I might have to pick up the tray just to have a physical copy of it.
Very nice. Very nice. Do you have physical copies of one and two and three?
No.
Oh, okay. Maybe it'd be worth going back to get those first three issues.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to make like a list of like, these are the physical comics I want to. Okay, so yeah, absolutely. We all got different clicks of the week.
Well, except for me and Dirt. Dirt and I have.
That's why, yeah, I'll pick the same one.
Yep, Dirt and I have Punisher. So hopefully, you know, I'm not sure what's coming out next week, but this was kind of, I guess because of the delays in Secret Wars, this was kind of like a weird week of titles. But I apologize to our loyal listeners and viewers that I wasn't able to get to a lot of the books this week. I really wanted to, just it's been too busy this week. I haven't been able to keep up with with what's come out.
Yeah, but hey, the show ending earlier, that gives us more time to
catch up or catch up on sleep.
Yeah, so the game plan is to watch. Yes, sleep. Game plan is to watch Ant-Man tomorrow after work.
Do it, do it. I'm happy to do it. Roddy, you're still there. Make sure you can catch Ant-Man at some point. Although, if you haven't watched Age of Ultron, you may not want to watch Ant-Man right away. I'm going to leave it at that.
All right. So, make sure to follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDOGG98 and at CBKron. The people not here. At Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need.
For Roddy Cat, who is actually contributing to the show, so he's semi-guest hosting today.
At PCN underscore Dirt for Dirt. Make sure to send him a tweet saying, Happy Birthday!
Happy Birthday, Dirt!
Man behind the sound effects is at Agent underscore 70.
That's right.
And with that, we'll be back next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday night. Same comic book Chronicles time, same comic book Chronicles channel.
Nice.
And we are the comic book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Hey!